Okay. So for some reason, slideshow's gone on strikes, but we'll just use this view. Again, the idea with CDMA, and it's still certainly used, but it sort of hit a wall in terms of performance. And so the next technology to replace it was orthogonal frequency division modulation. Okay, and this is used in more modern forms of Wi-Fi, WiMAX. WiMAX would have been the first to propose this use, and LTE, so cellular, advanced cellular systems. Okay. And in its basic form, it's another spread spectrum technique that with the goal of dividing high symbol rate streams into parallel lower symbol rate streams, and then modulating each stream on a separate carrier frequency. And so again, if you have n separate frequencies, and so each one transmits one bit in n of the original stream, or I think it Yeah, and so each one will transmit one bit in n. Okay. So this can use a bit one plus of this is you have less inter-symbol interference now, since the delay is a smaller fraction of the symbol duration. Okay, so that's obviously easier the longer your symbol duration is. Okay. So, the clever thing about OFDM is that it eliminates the need for non-overlapping channels by being clever about how it selects the subcarriers. And so each subcarrier is orthogonal to the next over the duration of a bit. Again, that's where the orthogonal comes from. And so this means that you can recover the original signal without distortion from other signals. The subcarriers can be packed tightly together because they're, again, chosen in such a way that they aren't going to interfere with each other. And so, again, if you think this sync function is the representation of a bit, and where one bit has its peak, everybody else is going to be zero. So, again, minimal interference. Okay, so just, if you're interested, then that's looking at this in a little greater detail. Again, what we're transmitting is a pulse, and again, the frequency representation of a pulse is this sync function. Okay, so psi omega t over omega. Okay. Well, that's going to peak around zero, and then have small sidebars. So, again, what we need to do is, if we we can shift these signals in time according to, or
we can shift them either in time or frequency. And so in particular, if we modulate this pulse by say a tone at FC, so a specific frequency, then what's going to happen, you're going to shift the frequency response by FC.
Okay. And so in particular, if we choose FC to be related to pulse duration, then we get a specific shift. So if we choose FC to be a half T, 1/2 T, we get a shift of half over T. Okay. And so if we just keep shifting by multiples of that basic frequency, then we're going to shift n pi over t. And again, that shift happens to be exactly what gets us, again, the peak of one pulse occurring at zero of the other pulses.
Okay. So that, again, allows us to pack in our signals. They do overlap in the frequency domain, but not in a way that's not recoverable. Okay, and again, we can, as before, what we're going to do is recover by, you know, applying our carrier frequency, our carrier tone, to the incoming signal. Okay, so if we have n subcarrier frequencies, and we can have any sort of number of symbols per subcarrier, so you can modulate your signal however you want, then in the complex domain, you're going to get terms which, again, are functions of those different frequencies. Okay. And so to recover, again, we note that if we apply a different carrier frequency, then if we apply the same carrier frequency, we get recover our signal. If we apply a different carrier frequency, we'll zero it out. Okay. So, just in terms of implementation, this turns out to be handy. Our symbol is a number of tones, and therefore can be represented using a finite number of Fourier coefficients. Therefore, we have a discrete Fourier transform representation. And the nice thing about that is just that it's easy to implement. You can implement those easily in hardware. Okay, so it turns out it's easy to sort of send and receive these sorts of signals. Okay, there can be intersymbol interference between the previous and current symbol. And so to avoid this, we add a guard period to our symbol, which is just a copy of the symbol.
And so, just as an example, if we have a 1,000-tone system and a data stream of 1 megabit per second, then we convert to, that should be 1,000 data streams at a rate of a kilobit per second, which gives you a bit duration of 1 millisecond. Okay, so that's from 1 microsecond. Okay, we can add a guard time to that. The standard guard time is 1/8 of the symbol duration, so 125 microseconds. And so we're not going to get interference then if the multipath time spread is less than that guard time. Okay. And that turns out to be this figure of 37.5 kilometers, okay, between path lengths, so you can get good resistance to multipath delay in this fashion. Okay, and remember we said that that was one thing CDMA had problems with. Okay, OFDM also can suffer from Doppler effects. And so we we handle that by adjusting the subcarrier spacing to be greater than the Doppler spread, so each subcarrier is essentially distinct. And so, as an example, in LTE, you would have a maximum, we assume a maximum speed of 350 kilometers per hour. So that's a high-speed train, I guess. And we have a maximum carrier frequency of 3.5 gigahertz. If you use your speed, you can determine that the maximum Doppler shift, well, speed plus maximum frequency, you can determine the maximum Doppler shift will be 1.1 kilohertz. And that's about 7% of the subcarrier spacing chosen for LTE, which the subcarrier spacing is 15 kilohertz. Okay, so again, you can adjust the parameters to deal with multipath and Doppler effects. And so, again, that gives you a nice way of sending your signals. As previously, you can think of OFDM as dividing your space up into separate subchannels. Okay, so each of these data streams is essentially being transmitted along a lower bit along a subchannel. And once you view it that way, you can just note that obviously you don't have to let one user use all of those subchannels. Those subchannels can be shared amongst multiple users. So OFDMA stands for Orthogonal Frequency Division Multiple Access. And that just assigns, again, these sub-channels to various users to allow the users to share the spectrum. Okay. Obviously, there are bitrate implications for that splitting. If you're using all of it, you get one bitrate. If you're using a fraction, you get that fraction of the bitrate. And so if you're clever about that, you can try and allocate your subcarriers according to your channel characteristics. So one person, the frequency selective fading is very dependent on location, so one person might not be fading while another one is, so you can try and allocate the channels according to channel characteristics. Okay. So, again, as an example, LTE will divide the channel up into various sub-channels, again, given by the spacing, and then those sub-channels can be allocated to different users, and what is sent along that sub-channel can, again, have different modulation characteristics. Okay. So if your channel quality is good, again, you can try and send on lots of bits per signaling element, and then the worse your channel gets, the less bits per signaling element you try to send on. Okay. Now the allocation is done both as a frequency allocation and then a time slot. So you get that allocation for a certain duration. And note here that you get a number of sub-channels in a block. So you never get just one channel. You do get a number of them. Beyond that, then, you can be allocated one or more blocks. Okay. The allocation of blocks is done according to some negotiation with the network. So I'm trying to stream a video. I'll get a certain allocation versus somebody else is trying to have a voice conversation, I'll get a different allocation versus somebody else is trying to just download a file, they'll get a different allocation again. Okay. So, again, this is just a picture of how things are divvied up. So you have your time slots, and then your frequency slots, and so you have a time and frequency element, and that's what you can transmit your signaling element along. And you're going to be allocated that as resource blocks. So they will allow for multiple, they'll have multiple resource elements per block.
So you get sort of, again, multiple sub-channels per block.
Okay. Okay, so it's
always a little more complicated on the uplink direction because this is for cellular, which we'll go into more detail later, but everything's going to be controlled by the system, so even the base station is having complete control over everything. So from downlink direction, they just allocate things. In the uplink direction, basically you have pre-agreed communication resources. So again, the user needs to know in advance along which sub-channels to send their information. And we can try again to do that in a way that optimizes the channel characteristics.
Okay, so what are the advantages of OFDM over CDMA? So it's robust to frequency selective fading, although again, if you start sharing amongst users, that advantage lessens because you're getting less of the overall spectrum. It's easier to deal with inter-symbol interference. We get a good level of spectral efficiency when we've packed our channels, sub-channels in nice and tight, so we can do it better than CDMA, and we can also send higher bit rates along the channels, potentially. And it's relatively insensitive to timing errors. So you need a less highly synchronized system than you do for CDMA.
Okay, so that's again, some of the advantages and disadvantages. By and large,
the OFDM has better signaling characteristics. The price you pay is it's
a more complicated implementation than for CDMA. Okay. So, again, systems in general have moved for sort of high-performance systems where you want the best, your highest speeds and your sort of most efficient use of the spectrum have moved by and large from CDMA to OFDM. OFDM is usually used in conjunction with MIMO, multiple input, multiple output. And the idea behind MIMO is that you can use multiple antennas at the transmitter and receiver to improve your communication performance. Okay. So it relies on having actually multipath present in the system. As again, it's going to try and work with the different characteristics of the different paths that are present.
Basically, what it's going to do is it's going to again find a way of splitting our bandwidth into
distinguishable subchannels. And then, of course, you can use these subchannels to either provide redundancy, so to improve the likelihood that you will correctly interpret a given signal, or, what's the other use? Well, we try and improve the bit rate, try and improve how many bits we can pump through the system.
Okay. So, what MIMO provides is diversity. And so, we're going to try and use multiple aspects of signaling to improve our data quality. So, through the use of some sort of redundancy. So,
this breaks up into time, frequency, or space diversity. So, with time diversity, we transmit our information at different times or with different coding. And again, that's just going to provide us a form of redundancy. With frequency diversity, again, we can use multiple channels to send our data and then try and interpret what we get along the different channels to combine to make a single best guess of what our original signal was. And then our spread spectrum techniques or attempts at that sort of frequency diversity. And finally, we have our space diversity. So here we use our multiple antennas to essentially provide channels with different multipath characteristics. And so, once you have these channels with the different multipath characteristics, then again you can attempt to use those different characteristics either to provide redundancy, so again, some single signal and try and receive it along these different subchannels, or to share out the
different subchannels that we have to try and increase the data rate. Okay. So, again, this can be used either by a single user or, again, multiple users can share. So if you have a single user, then you can have spatial diversity, and you can use that to try and improve the quality of your signal. So you transmit the same data over different antennas, using the multipath effect, you'll get different characteristics for each of the different transmissions, and you can then recombine the different copies of the signal at the receiver. Okay. Typically, you need to have some understanding in order for this to work
properly, you'll need some understanding of the characteristics of your channel to send the appropriate versions of the signal over your different antennas. You can also do what's called spatial multiplexing, in which case you transmit parallel streams of data over the same spectrum, again through multiple antennas, and then you use the different characteristics of your different multi-path characteristics for the different transmissions to try and extract each individual stream of data back out of the system. And the effect of that, of course, is going to be that you can increase throughput
by doing that. Okay.
Obviously, if we're talking about creating these different channels within our same spectrum, then that can either be used by a single user or multiple users.
And again, that's relatively easy to do. In the downlink direction, a little more complex in the uplink direction. Okay, so
just looking sort of in a little more depth. Our basic system as we've thought of it to date is a single input, single output, so we've had one antenna on either side. And, we know what we can do with that. You get essentially a single signal through the system. Okay. So that signal is subject to fading, etc., and the overall capacity of the system does have an upper bound as given by Shannon.
Okay, so you can improve on things somewhat by adding multiple antennas at the receiver.
Okay, so that would be referred to as receive diversity. And so, again, you'll transmit a single signal, and because of the different positions of the antenna, then what's received per antenna is going to be slightly different. Okay. And so probably the easiest thing you could do is just, one of these is going to have the strongest signal at any given time, one of them will have the strongest signal, and just take that signal as your signal. Or you can combine, do some sort of combination of all the received signals. Okay. So, in general, this is, if you're thinking of cellular, you'd be thinking from the handset to the base station, where the base station might have multiple antennas, less likely in the opposite direction. Due to hardware constraints, the antennas that you want to have, and also processing constraints. So, do you want to we require your handsets to do this sort of processing. And, yeah, as time moves on, the answer to that is more and more, well, why not? But, yeah, depending, maybe not. Okay, so then we
move on to a case where, yeah, we have multiple antennas in both the transmitter and receiver. Okay, and so in this case, we can either use that to improve our signal or to improve our throughput. And obviously you're going to need to do processing at both ends now to decide about what to send at the one end and then how to interpret what you've sent at the other.
So,
again, what's happening here is that you're splitting what was sort of a single channel into a number of subchannels. These subchannels are all distinguished using their
multipath characteristics, so transmission characteristics.
So in order for that to work, the receiver is going to have to be able to sort of parse out each of the different subchannels. If they can do that, then you actually improve your channel capacity beyond Shannon. And so if you think of having N subchannels, then you have the Shannon capacity limit applies to each of those subchannels individually.
Okay, and so typically the way it works is that
each antenna, again, is sending a signal, and that signal is going to be received at each of the receiving antennas. Okay. So recovering the original signal from any given antenna is a matter of interpreting what's been received at all of the receiving antennas. Okay. The signal that we get is therefore a combination of what was sent on each of the antennas and the channel characteristics between sending and receiving antennas. Okay. So if we think of our transmitter sending, it assumes T1 through TM along our different antennas, then the receiver will when receiving, say, what was sent along the T1, will have an H11 T1 component, an H12 T1 component, an H1N T1 component. And so we can represent that as a matrix of our received signals. Okay.
So
in order to recover our signal, we have to take the inverse of our matrix. And so that's the basic idea of what you need to do. There will also be a noise factor present, so you can't just sort of do that directly, and you'll use some sort of mean square error technique to recover your signal. Okay, so you end up again being able to decode each of the transmitted data streams separately.
Now, from the sender's point of view,
what is on those different data streams is up to the sender. So you can send different data streams, in which case you've increased your data rate by M, or again, you can send copies of the same data a number of times. In that case, you've improved your chance of recovering your data.
Okay. So, in the second case where we're sending data multiple times, we refer to that as space-time coding. Okay. And so, at any given time, you'll use spatial encoding to try and get the best signal possible, but you also can send it multiple times along, sort of with different configurations. Okay, so that's, again, you can try to have the best signal possible. And so, in that case, you need to decide exactly what you're transmitting along each antenna, and then at different times. Okay. So again, and once you have this idea of a subchannel, you can either, a single user can use it, or you can think then about splitting it up between multiple users. Okay. Okay, so in the uplink direction, again, if you think about transmitting between users and a base station, then the base station can assign the channels, and so transmission is relatively simple, and then the base station has to take the complexity in trying to pick apart the different signals. Okay. In the downlink direction, the issue is that the user, mobile station, is going to have to try and pick apart between its own signal and that intended for other users. Okay. And so that process becomes more complex.
So, one technique is the dirty paper coating, and also, again, you want the, essentially everything that the, from the other users will appear as noise, and your own, and then you try and distinguish your own signal from that. Depending on the characteristics of everything else, you change the characteristics of your own signal. It's complex.
Just note that it can be done. Okay, so again, this is, things are moving on again with from LTE to LTE Advanced. LTE did adopt the use of MIMO, and so in the uplink direction, I mean, it was actually assumed that any single user would have a single antenna in the uplink direction, and we have all these single user antennas forming multiple antennas overall, and the base station can decode between the different users. Now, in the downlink direction, you have antennas used for spatial diversity, so you transmit the same thing, the
same signal, just hope that, you know, again, the characteristics are of one are better than the other.
Okay, so that's it for today.
Again, what we've seen is sort of more sophisticated techniques that are used, or are used, to try and deal with the sort of the complexities of our channel in terms of both large scale and small scale shading. Okay.
So. Next week, I'm going to hopefully post your assignment today, and it's based on NS3. So next week, I'll give a shortened lecture, and then the demonstrator will come in and give you a presentation on NS3, and hopefully enough to get you started with using it. I've divided the assignment up into two parts. The first one is essentially just get the thing working, and then the second part is do something and look into a specific problem. So again, it'd probably be good if you did attend for the demonstrator and listen to what he had to say. Unless you've done NS3 and other modules, which you might have. So that's it for today anyway. So I'll see you guys on Thursday.